Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today we have another guest. Her name is Adina and I will let her introduce herself. Hi Adina.
Hey, how are you? I am a retired psychology professor, a published author. My book Butterfly Blue, The Pain of Infertility and the Power of Forgiveness is up here. Oh, it's right here. Mm-hmm. And I am a YouTuber. My husband and I have a YouTube channel. It's Nick and Adina on YouTube, and we do marriage coaching. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that since 2003, so 21 years. Mm-hmm. And I have a podcast, Black Butterfly, Black Pearls, and that's everywhere you get podcasts. And that's with my friend of over 45 years. And we bring in a lot of research and a lot of aspects from my psychology career.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And what else do you not do? Because I figured out that you do almost everything. So what do you not do is my question.
No, I pretty much do it all. I'm a wife and a mom, mm-hmm. you know, all the things.
Got it. So where are you based out of, Adina?
I'm in Florida.
Florida. Okay, that's mm-hmm. a good state. Although I'm not from states, but I understand the geography at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's talk about gardening and food. Right? Because that's what people seem to be interested in just general life. So you said you do gardening, right?
Oh my gosh. I do a lot of gardening and I mm-hmm. love it. But, well, let me just talk about, I'm going to tell you some of the stuff I have in my garden. I have mm-hmm. collard greens. I had okra before. I realized I don't like okra, so I kind of let that one die. I have tomatoes, tons of tomatoes. Mm-hmm. My kids ask me to make homemade tomato sauce. So I do mm-hmm. that a lot because the stuff that's in the jars mm-hmm. is not really healthy for you.
Yeah.
It has a lot of additives in it. So, and my kids are always like, oh, it tastes so much better when you make it, mom. So mm-hmm. I've learned to do that and it's really fun. I have potatoes in the garden. I have celery. Mm-hmm. I had a huge celery stalk. Yeah. What I do a lot of times is, once I have kitchen scraps, mm-hmm. I'll throw them in the ground and see what happens. I've had mm-hmm. turmeric, I have ginger, I have quite a few things in my mm-hmm. garden.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a very healthy garden, right? I mean, you know, Adina, like a lot of people would be jealous of you, right? Because you have the right weather to grow anything.
No, if I can do it, anybody can do it because mm-hmm. I go out there and weeds are grown up and I'm just mm-hmm. like, ah!
Yeah.
But I love it because it just shows me when I think about having kitchen scraps and if you leave it on a counter, mm-hmm. it decays, nothing happened. But when you throw it in the ground, that's when you can see the power of God. That's when you can see that God is real because yeah. it just knows to grow and reproduce. And that's amazing to me. So yeah. I do composting also. Mm-hmm. I compost, but I don't see me taking it out because it's all, I always see worms and bugs. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
So, but I still compost everything. That way it won't be in the landfill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's somewhat of a healthy practice, right? Like if we are responsible of what we grow and if we are observant of what we consume, right? Because right now it seems like everything has to be packaged, right? I see in American supermarkets that they wrap each, you know, like cucumber in a separate plastic wrap, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the outer layer of a cucumber is the protection for the cucumber. You don't need another layer for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because a lot of times people are walking around and they're coughing and, mm-hmm. you know, they're doing so many different things. I always buy I buy stuff from the farmer, the store also, but I usually go to the farmer's market mm-hmm. and get a lot of my veggies, a lot of my lemons, because I use lemons in my water every day, limes. Mm-hmm. I usually go to the farmer's market and get everything though.
Yeah. How different do you think it tastes?
It tastes crisp, a little bit more fresher.
Yeah.
And my kids even notice the difference in the taste because mm-hmm. it just tastes like it's living. It tastes like life.
Yeah. And it also doesn't, in my experience, and it also does have an edge to it, right? Like each vegetable has or gives you, you know, its own experience, right? But when you compare it to a supermarket where it's like pretty much everything tastes the same. Yeah, I mean that's one of those things that people who do gardening only they will understand, right? Because when you grow something and you eat it, your respect for food or, you know, just life in general increases, right? And I don't know in the United States, but in India, you know, like when children go to school, they're taught gardening and how to grow food. Like that's a skill that is taught in schools. How important do you think that is for like young people?
I think it's amazing. My kids are going to a new school this year, and I've signed up to do the gardening for them because I think it's so important to get the kids out there and to get their hands moving. My daughter, she's 10, but she even gets to the place. She planted a mango, like a mango seed, and so it started sprouting. I think it died once we took it outside. And that was just in the windowsill. So it's like, so they're trying their hand at different things. And I think that's so important for kids to recognize, hey, go outside and, pick your food. We have 3 acres, but it doesn't really matter. You can do it in the house. You can have a grow light and do it from, comforts of your home on your patio. You can garden anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. Because you know, there are concepts, right, in gardening where if you give me like 2,000 square feet or even 1,000 square feet, you know, like we can grow 90% of your vegetable and fruit needs. It won't be as diverse as one thinks, right? Like, you know, you could probably not grow an apple, you know, unless you live in a very cold region. But, you know, you can grow most of your food. Yeah, because I feel, you know, not only I feel like, but I've seen in young people that, you know, when Adina, probably when you were a kid, right? Like when you were a child, you know, you faced consequences of of whatever you did, right? And in today's world, that does not exist. Almost, it's extinct. Because in today's world, any mistakes that, you know, children do, either society helps them or government helps them or family helps them, like in terms of covering the consequences. You know, apart from education, right? If you really think about it, no, there is not much consequences when it compared to your time or, you know, older time, because then consequences was magnified, right? It was somewhat of a major thing.
It was a major thing, but I do think like when I was growing up, it was like as a child you made mistakes and it was like, oh my God, it was like the end of the world. Whereas I'm a retired psychology professor. I was a youth counselor for 14 years. I try to teach my children to, I'm teaching them now. My son is 13, my daughter is 10, and my other son is 27. But like even today, my son had to go and make a purchase for us because we ordered something online. And he felt like he was just like attacked when he went to pick up food that we order. And so I just went and talked to the manager and I said, I don't mean to interrupt you from your meeting, but this is training ground. I am teaching my son how to take care of things. So the extra added stress and frustration you gave him is not necessary. But I said it nicely because I was like, this is the time that I'm teaching him and I'm training him, but I don't want him to feel like he's doing something wrong by coming to pick up the food that I paid for. So I think it's different. Whereas now for me, I talk to my kids and I explain to them, what's happening and what the issues are, and I'm training them to be productive citizens. Whereas I feel like when I was a kid, it was just, you didn't make an A. Oh my, it was just like,
Trail bearer, right?
it was just like, or I know one time I had 6 classes. I made 5 A's and 1 B. And my mom was like, why do you have this B? And I'm like, you, Okay.
Yeah, I didn't. That's a question I have. Like, how many people gave you shit because you're doing a psychology degree?
I don't know. I have a double master's. I have a master's in psychology and one in human resources.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a published author, but it's like, yeah, I think you're right. I think people are like, who cares?
Yeah. Psychology is not a very real subject. That's what people would say, right? Yeah, that's why I brought up this conversation of consequences, because gardening teaches you a lot about consequence and responsibility, right? And in today's world where everything is instantaneous, like you want food, you get it, right? You know, you want a burger, you get it. But, you know, nature is like, you know, like, dude, like, fuck you, you know, like, I'm going to grow on my own pace. And, you know, if I take 60 days or 80 days, I'm going to take it. Like, you cannot do much about it.
Yeah. Well, and then you have to understand, too, psychology has a part in every part of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if, you know, and that's the thing, I think if people don't care that I have a psychology degree, it works for me. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, that's why I think it's important to diversify. I have a master's in human resources and human resources and management.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a bachelor's in psychology and speech.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah.
And but that's just what works for me. I, you know, me being like the human behavior worked for me, and I, you know, I made an amazing career out of it.
It's a very different, I think, path that you chose, right, compared to others, because I mean, usually people who go to psychology, you know, and, you know, study psychology are usually weird people. Just in, you know, like, in the internet's opinion, that's what we see, right, on Reddit and everywhere, that if you chose, you know, psychology or psych as your major, you're somewhat of a weird person.
Yeah, you know, and I tried to do, my husband is a computer programmer, I tried to do business when I was in school, and I was miserable. I gained 30 pounds. I was absolutely miserable. Psychology was my first love, so I went crawling back to the psychology department and asked my advisor, please forgive me, but it just, I love psychology, but I do notice that me being in psychology in my 20s, you know, as my first thing that I did, there's a lot of people, when I listen to other people, they're in their 40s doing some of the stuff I did years ago when I was in my 20s because of the psychology background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think it also gives you a new lens, right? Like a new perspective on everything. You know, because when you're an illiterate in terms of, you know, understanding people, and people get angry, you see them as, you know, someone who's just angry, right? But whereas you, when you see a person who is, you know, very angry, you might be like, okay, like that, but, you know, you understand them, right? Mm-hmm. You understand them better. Yeah.
Absolutely. Even in the classroom, I would have people coming to me yelling and screaming, and I would just sit down and say, okay, and I would bring it down. So when I bring it down, they have no choice but to bring it down, because I'm not yelling and screaming. I'm not going back and forth with you. We're going to have a discussion about it, but a lot of people aren't willing to do that. They don't know to do that. They don't know to lower your voice when they're yelling and acting belligerent. They don't know to, you know, have a seat, sit down. So now you're standing up and you're doing all of this, and you look crazy because I'm sitting here and I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, even in my circle of content creators, right, the biggest problems are like social media and comments. And I always, you know, like, I heard this somewhere, and I just, you know, keep on blabbering the same thing. You know, I say, if you see a bad comment, right, close the social media, you know, wait for 6 hours and then reply. Because then your reply is like very valid. It's not emotional, at least. You know, it's not like, fuck you. It will be a softer blow where you'll be like, okay, I don't agree with your point of view. So.
Well, and one thing I had to learn after reading bad comments of students, I had to learn, you know, this isn't productive feedback. Mm-hmm. And you really don't have the tools to give me feedback, not constructive feedback.
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it with social media, and when people come back and say rude things, and I'm like, well, you don't know me, you don't know my life, you don't know the volunteer efforts I do, you don't know So you seeing me in this one little time frame, you really can't make an informed decision on me. Mm-hmm. And so what you have to say really has no bearing on my life or how I'm going to handle myself.
Exactly. Because I don't think they even know themselves at that point. Right.
Yeah.
Because they're letting one of their emotion lead them. Right. And, you know, it's leading them to every fucked up situation.
Yeah. And I feel bad for them. I see mm-hmm. them as oftentimes I see them as a little person mm-hmm. that is throwing a tantrum. Somebody that just fall out in the middle of the floor and they're like, but you didn't give it to me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, I just really see them as wounded children.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and it's like you're spewing out. And even when I see something that I don't agree with, I mm-hmm. try to give it in a positive light. Mm-hmm. But I also say, you know, I've watched your channel. I've listened to your podcast.
Yeah.
And you said X, Y, and Z. And mm-hmm. I'm having difficulty with that because mm-hmm. of this.
Yeah. So you're one of those sane people, right? Like, who still have their brain together. Because there was a recent like study, I think, like survey where they asked people like what's like toxic masculinity, right? Because they mentioned it in their social media or in their, you know, regular hate speech. And it said around 60% people could not define it.
No.
And those people, the 30%+ who defined it, out of them, only 2% were correct. So it's like, you know, as you said, right, they're still children, you know, trying to use those fancy terms and mm-hmm. trying to be political, you know, when they're not and when they don't need to. I feel like that's why I am very much into gardening and plants, because I'm like, yeah, you can fight over whatever, like who gets to, you know, do what, right? Yeah. And I feel like, you know, food is something that will bring everybody together, right? You could vote for Trump, I could vote for Biden. Still, we would have to eat the same food.
Well, okay.
So, do you think differently?
Well, I just think, I think it's important. Got my fan here. Mm-hmm. I think it's important that, I mean, because if... It just depends who you're around and who you're with.
Yes.
And it's like you were saying, one of us could work for Trump, one of us could work for Biden. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to look at the health disparities of the two. You have mm-hmm. one riding a bike and you have one eating McDonald's.
No, you have one who is being guided to walk. Biking is a very, you know, like dangerous activity for that person.
To try, because I'm looking at, I was at a I volunteer for AARP and I was looking at a group of seniors, because mm-hmm. we had like a fishathon in our city for seniors, and I saw all these walkers and amputated legs and you know, I saw a lot of health disparities.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because of what we're putting in our body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, I don't want to be an older person who is having all these health issues. Now, sometimes we will have certain issues as far as, you know, you'll have thyroid issues or you'll have issues with your heart, you know, stuff that you're born with. But the mm-hmm. stuff that we eat and bring on ourselves, I think it's so important to try to mitigate some of that mm-hmm. because you know what it is. You sit here and eat all the M&Ms or you eat all the cookies.
Yeah.
Then that's going to be a problem. My family, mm-hmm. we detox. Right now, I'm on a detox, which is why I keep showing you this huge thing of water. Mm-hmm. I'm on a detox right now where I just have to pull all the toxins out of my body because mm-hmm. to pull away from some of that,
mm-hmm.
some of those.
But Adina, if you mitigated junk food, what would be your contribution to the medical industry?
I'll let other people do that. I mean, that's not my concern. That's not my concern. My concern is making sure I'm healthy and my family is healthy to the best of our ability. We try to avoid those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, there is an active effort to make sure you don't do that.
Yeah. What is it?
There is an active effort to make sure you don't do what you just said to do.
Yeah. You know, but the thing is, you can talk until you're blue in the face. People are going to do what they want to do, yeah, even if they're your children. So it gets a point where you have to give them the information, mm-hmm, and you have to allow them to be who they are.
Yeah.
You have to educate them, but allow them to make their decision,
mm-hmm,
you know? Yeah. And so for my family, we do gardening. We, mm-hmm, camp. We're going on a camping trip this weekend.
Yeah.
We fish, mm-hmm, we crab, that's we good, do crabbing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, all the things. So I try to, you know, show my children. We, mm-hmm, do a lot of traveling. We just got back from Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to show my children that life is worth living. But yeah, if you're on all these medications, I take vitamins and that's it. My, mm-hmm, husband, same thing. We don't have any medications that we have to take.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with my mom. She's in her 70s and she doesn't take any medication.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you don't have to be... I mean, move your body. You have, you know, we take family walks. It's important that we take care of our body. That way it can take care of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I still remember the first time I got to know that, you know, like Coca-Cola, you know, like these brands, soda brands have partnered up with schools, right? To include soda in midday meals. I was like, horrified. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, the better thing would be to, you know, like team up with, like, I don't know, Mexicans and, you know, like, you know, just give all the drugs like you want. Because people always put, you know, cocaine and heroin in a very bad light, right? They're like, okay, these are the worst drugs in the world. I'm like, yeah, I agree with you. But the two of the biggest addictors in a human's life is salt and sugar.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in today's world, what do you eat without salt and sugar? People don't question this, right?
No.
Like, I need salt, I need sugar. And, you know, these are the two of the biggest, you know, addictors in the world. And we are here, you know, like giving our children soda, right, in the afternoon. You know, and I can, you know, say this publicly, even I don't care, like, you know, like when you eat a lot of sweet, right, when you consume a lot of sugar, it is shown to decrease your cognitive ability. Mm-hmm. So first of all, you send the kid to learn, and by half day you feed him something that makes them that takes away their ability to learn. How is that supposed to work?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, what do you think about it? Like, because I did not know this, because I'm not an American, of course. Like, I did not know this, that this was a thing.
I don't know. I think it's important for us to tell our children to, if you're going to have those things, have them sparingly. Don't have it every day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know, and then you have some kids that you can look at them and tell they're... They're so strong will, they're going to eat it anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay.
Yeah. I once had a dietitian on my podcast, American dietitian. She said, like, a lot of her clients don't drink water. Like, they're just dependent on soda, like pop on all day. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what world do you live in?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a sad life.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because when you're thirsty, you're not thirsty for soda. I mean, you might want something sweet. You might want, you know, a pick-me-up. But you need H2O in your body. Your body is made of a lot of water.
Yes, yes, definitely. And then I see people say, I drink beer when I'm thirsty.
That probably makes you even more thirsty.
Yes, exactly. Because beer makes you more dry. It takes away moisture in your body. So,
yeah.
Have you seen that movie? I don't remember that movie. Where it's a comedy movie where a person goes into coma and wakes up, like, I think, like 500 years later, and everybody is just dumb.
I've heard of that movie. I didn't see it. I'm usually doing audiobooks. I'm using this for audiobooks, but I have heard of that movie.
So in that movie, it's the exact thing. There is a company which is selling like soda, right? And that drink makes you even more thirstier. So you just keep on like checking it. And there is no water. And they are watering all the plants with the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we are slowly walking towards that.
I was told, the people that were talking about that movie, they were saying it seems like a lot of what we're doing today.
Yes, that's the, scary part. This is a bit off topic, EVs, right? Like electric vehicles. And I see, in conversations, people will just drop it like they are in a high horse. Like they'll be like, I use, EV. It's good for the environment. I'm like, okay, have you asked your, EV manufacturer, where did they source their cobalt from? Right? Because there is a whole literal, human slave economy, in Congo that, right now everybody's fighting, right? That once they found out how cobalt is extracted, right?
Yeah.
And, Adina, do you also know, there's just a fact, EV vehicles, they need their tires changed twice as much as a normal vehicle.
What?
So if you were regular vehicle, right? Let's say you change your tires at 40,000 miles. For EV, you'd have to change it at 20,000 miles. You change your, whole freaking system. So more tires. And everybody knows that tires are not, eco-friendly. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like this whole conversation of artificial, I don't know, it's a virtual signaling, right? It's like fake tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
where if you are a vegan and you use an EV, you are a very good person.
Okay.
Right? It's a very fucked up view. I agree with you. I agree with your face expression that it's a very fucked up view, but that's what has world come down to, right?
Yeah. I think that's part of it. A lot of people are saying, hey, I'm better than you because I have this, or I'm better than you because of that. But I just think it's to each his own. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I'm any better than anyone because I go camping and I go fishing and I go, I live on 3 acres of land and I have my own garden. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm any better than anyone else who goes to the grocery store, which I go to the grocery store too, but I think it's just so much easier to grow your food. Mm-hmm. That way you'll know what you're getting.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're on point when you say, you are very self-reliant, right? Like, where your stuff comes from. And if it stops coming, you know where to find it.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two of the biggest things, right? I always, whenever somebody is like anti, unfortunately on internet, Adina, the point of view is if you're a gardener, you're somewhat of a hippie. I'm like, okay, I will take that any day of the year. if you call me hippie and I'm self-reliant, it's good for me. Because, I always take people back to 2017-18, right? Remember in the early COVID days when people literally killed each other for freaking tissue paper.
Mm.
And it was not even a natural problem. It was a logistical issue.
Yeah.
Now imagine that with food.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
There are some food deserts where, and, I was looking at a research on Netflix just recently where within a 7-mile radius.
Yeah.
Individuals were what I'm talking about, the people, they were living in the same pretty much neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
but other people were healthier because they didn't eat the meat, because they weren't eating fast food, they were cooking mm-hmm. at home, and they were just, it shows that they were just so much healthier. So there mm-hmm. are places and people who have a disparity in getting health, fresh food,
mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, and it just does my heart good when I go down to my mom's neighborhood mm-hmm. and I see that someone has taken their entire yard and they yeah. have a garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because I really get frustrated and angry when people say Africans don't have food. I'm like, no, they have food. They just don't have your shit food. Right? Because fortunately, Africa is one of those last continents where people have not forgotten how to grow.
Yeah.
Right? And they are still sticking to their roots. And people call that stubborn. I'm like, okay, time will tell.
Because yeah, no.
Right now, because I am very much into food and, you know, into organic and natural and everything. I know for a fact that nutrition has been down since 1948. And it has been going down. It has never improved. Mm-hmm. And soil is dying. So there goes your medium, right? Nutrition is dying. There goes your healthy life. At the end of the day, everybody needs to take capsules, which is synthetic, right? Mm-hmm. And when you take synthetic vitamins or, you know, multivitamins, anything like you want to take that as synthetic, your bioabsorbability comes down to 83%. Like, you know, your body is just washing away nutrients because it's not able to absorb because it's a very complex bond. When you compare it to a natural vitamin, which is very easy to dissolve. And mm-hmm. people don't understand this. And they try to pretend that, like, they're scientists. When real scientists are saying, guys, this is a problem, right? They're like, nah, I read in Google, but multivitamin is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all have to do our own research and not believe. I mean, because mm-hmm. if you think about it with Western medicine, if you go to the doctor, they're going to give you a pill for everything.
Yep.
You know, and I go to the doctor quite frequently, but, mm-hmm. and that's just to do testing, but I'm always telling my doctor, I'm like, I don't want the medicines.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm looking at now, a lot of people are taking Ozempic, and I'm just like, I've done the research on that drug, and that's mm-hmm. not healthy for you at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know, like, because you're somewhat of an elder, right? I don't mean no offense by that, but do you remember days when you were, you know, a kid and, you know, we used to have household remedies for diseases?
Mm-hmm.
Does it mm-hmm. exist today?
I think it does. I just recently did research on, you know, because castor oil is one of those things that we hadn't used in a while. I use castor oil. I use shea butter, you know, mm-hmm. for moisturizer for my skin.
Yeah.
I use coconut oil. I try to be very healthy and organic, get organic items.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are still home remedies, you know, but I do think it's so easy to just grab a pill for something or, mm-hmm. you know, it's like for me, I have to be hurting really bad mm-hmm. to grab an aspirin or a Motrin or something like that. My husband, yeah. you know, we're on the same, you know, point about that. It's like, well, you know, rub your head with castor oil. Don't, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Don't use pills and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know there was a doctor, right? Who came up with solutions for headache, right? He was like, you will never have to take pills. If you have headache in this particular region, you do this, right? You know, he just got banned. His social media accounts were taken down. Yeah, he was just like, fuck with. Because he was going up against a giant that doesn't like opposition. Like, yeah. That's like absolute like bullshit. You know, and the fact that medicines can be advertised on TV in the United States.
Yeah.
Like, how fucked up is that? I mean, America's older brother, that's Europe. Even there, they do not allow that. And somehow, yeah. it flies in the United States. They're like, yeah, you know what? Mass influence is a thing. Let's do it.
Well, and that's why you have to do research. I just recently, like I said, I went to the doctor and mm-hmm. I just did research and did not take the medication. I'm like, no. You know, and so we do things like juicing and we do, you know, things like intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because things are different now. When we were kids, mm-hmm. intermittent fasting was called anorexia. Now yeah. they're like,
no, actually, you know, I did not even right now, intermittent fasting is under attack. You know that, right? Like, now, Western medicine says that if you do intermittent fasting, your chance of heart attack increases.
Really?
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because the you know, obvious thing that they miss out and they put it in the fine print, right, of the study is they did the study on those people who were morbidly obese and suffering from existing heart diseases. What a surprise, right?
That's why reading is fundamental. You got to read it for yourself.
Yeah, it's like stating obvious. It's like if you have a gas car, when it runs out of gas, it will stop. And people are like, oh my God, this is a new research. Like, this is what we need to look into. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because so many things are just fucked up in today's world. For example, almond milk. Do you know something about almond milk? I also recently got to know that when you drink almond milk, it takes away protein, the existing protein in your body. So therefore, you have to consume more protein to make up for the loss that almond milk caused you.
Wow.
And the funniest thing is people mix almond milk with protein shake, you know, in protein shake, like in with protein wow. powder. That's just oxymoron, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And the research I've done recently, because I am getting older, the older you get, the more protein you're needing for your body to maintain muscle. So yeah, that is an oxymoron. I just use, when I use protein powder, I do it every day. I just put water in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the biggest like thing I get irritated is like when I talk about this, people are like, how do you know? I'm like, dude, just look at like people who are talking about it, who know what they're talking about. And it's not like, I don't know, you know, like a person from NASA talking about it. It's a dietitian that's talking about it, that's saying almond milk is a protein deficient thing. It's going to consume protein from your own body. It's almost like, you know, when I'm thirsty, I will drink salt water.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is too, how does almond make a milk?
Yeah. That's also a thing, right? Because almond milk comes from the industry, if you know this or not. Like, it comes from the almond industry itself. Because you know, you might have known, like, you know, Californian almonds and everything, right? So these big companies want a particular size and particular weight of each almond. And when it does not reach that particular, you know, required size or weight, they throw it away.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah.
So instead of throwing it away, we make milk out of it. And then the shavings, the whatever is the dry part of almond, then we send it to, you know, feeders, like, you know, cow feeding, pig feeding, you know, as feed. So yeah, it's totally a result of an efficient industry system.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's almond milk. That's why I hate vegans, by the way, Adina. I'm a vegetarian by religion. By religion, I'm a vegetarian, but I hate vegans. I absolutely hate them.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, with all my heart, I hate them.
Why?
Because they're not natural people. Yeah, because if you look at Indian cuisine, 99% of Indian cuisine is vegan. Like, I could right now list like 50 dishes that's like vegan, totally vegan. It does not require any dairy product at all. But the problem with veganism in Western countries is Western diet is heavily dependent on dairy. Heavily, heavily dependent, right? And when you talk about being a vegan, it does not stop at one point. It keeps going up. It keeps going up. Because, okay, you don't eat non-veg. I don't eat non-veg, right? I don't eat animals. I'm a vegetarian. So that's like, okay, that's my limitation. But I understand why people who eat meat are required for this planet. because mm-hmm. now we are given a birth to a monster called as, you know, ranches. And it's truly a monster because you're just killing animals. I don't care about it. But that because we have given a birth to this significant industry, people eating meat are required.
Right.
Because we have already caused enough damage in terms of animal breed extinction. And I don't eat meat, but I know more about animals than probably somebody who eats meat. Because they might know how it tastes, but I know how it's done.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's a bad thing if you ask me, because people do not know that cow and bull breeds are getting extinct. Right? Because we are just breeding the same breeds that gave us the best meat.
Wow.
But the problem is, for example, Holstein. Have you heard of this cow? Holstein? So Holstein is a cow that's used for milk production. It's used because it gives the highest, you know, quantity of milk, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is, it is not resistant to anything. You could sneeze wrongly on it will die. It is put on so many shots, like, you know, vaccines, and it needs so many medications. You would be surprised that it still survives.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, you might have known about the Highlander, right? The Highlander cow, where they use it for beef. Yeah, it does not survive everywhere. it requires its own climate, right?
Right.
Right. It's like, you know, bringing someone from Serbia and, you know, or Siberia and putting up in like Abu Dhabi and saying live. They will struggle to live, right? And that's what we're doing to animals. And because of that, a lot of local native breeds are dying to extinction. And that's a dangerous story, you know. And people don't understand this. So I'm like, okay, I hate vegans because of that. Because we have already propped up an industry that's unstoppable.
Right.
Right? It's like today, you know, like those activists who ask... that all of the electrical consumption shall be stopped immediately. You know what the fuck would happen to the world if that was the case?
Yeah.
That does not work.
Right? No.
That's the thing. That's why I hate vegans. I'm sorry it took so long to describe, but that's why I hate vegans.
Wow.
Yeah, openly. Like, you know, like unapologetically. Because most of vegans are not farmers.
Yeah.
And most of vegans are not those people who are in touch with nature. Right? And I see a lot of young people in America, when we talk about soil, they give me an expression that, like, they don't like it. Like, they hate soil. It's very dirty. I'm like, dude, you came from that particular thing and you can go back to the same thing. Right? You will, you know, eventually end up in soil.
Yeah. Yeah. It's where most people are going right back. Right. If you get buried. Yeah. I'm getting cremated, but if you get buried, you're going, and even that, you're going back to dust.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever it is, you'll end up in soil. Yeah. And that's why I feel really scared when I talk about this, because people not anymore are, you know, like close to nature. They like to observe nature. They like to live in nature, but they don't know how to preserve it or bring it back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing that bothers me too, because I live in a very rural area.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we have 3 acres, but they're building so many different things, and it just breaks my heart every time I see these trees that are huge and they're cutting down the trees. Yep. Even my neighbor across the road from us, he's like, you know, if you have all these trees, if something catch fire, your whole house is going to go up in flames. And I'm like, okay, but I can breathe easy because I have the trees. So, I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Can you ask that person to build his house with stones? So that it doesn't get burned.
Right.
Or put chemical into his wall so that he doesn't breathe chemicals.
Yeah. So I, you know, I just say, well, you stay over there and I stay over here and, you know, it'll work out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are just dumb, to be honest. Have you seen these redwood forests, you know, where they have these big, big redwood trees?
Yeah, we've been to California to see those.
Mm-hmm. Do you know they're fire resistant?
Really?
Yeah.
So why are there always fires in California?
Because of the because they're introducing foreign trees like cedar and other trees that are useful for humans, because they would use it for furniture, or they think that it is very good for the nature. That's why, because they're not letting native trees take over.
Got it.
You know, because redwood trees are like thousands of years old, right?
Yeah.
That's why they do not burn.
Wow.
Like, there are trees that, you know, that are redwood, right? And you can see even on the internet, like there is this one redwood, right? That's like, let's say 2000 years old. And there is all these planted trees around it, you know, like people planted it. And in the forest, everything burned down and that red tree is still standing.
Wow. No,
yeah, that's the reason. That's the reason that red trees, evolutionized to be so big, because they need to withstand a lot of gust, wind, and fire.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We went to California and saw quite a few of those. They were amazing. We were like, we're from Florida. We've never seen a tree. I mean, you know, we have oak trees and different trees like that, but that tree was like huge. My husband can't even put his arms around it.
Yeah. Because the thing is, Adina, the problem right now, right, is very simple, that when you know, it's not even a problem, I feel like. When you introduce foreign trees to a native land, it does not work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are going to throw shade at me like I'm talking about people, but guys, I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about trees. when you introduce foreign species to another land, it mm-hmm. does not work, because each plant or tree has their own path of evolution, and they've reached a certain point because of the nature or environment that they live in. Like, it's like second standard biology.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't understand that, you know, and that's why you are seeing more and more fires, wildfires.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, one more fun fact, there are no more wild chickens. Have you noticed that?
No more white chickens?
Wild chickens. Forest.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, there are. My mother-in-law has wild chickens in her yard.
Yeah.
And there is in the neighborhood right down the street from me. It's like mm-hmm. 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
They have chickens all mm-hmm. in the parking lot. And we're like, dude.
Yeah, but they're in captivity, right? They're not free. They're not in the forest, actually.
They're not in the forest. They're on the street, like hanging out.
Yeah,
like,
because that was like human introduced.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But sense. In the forest, there are no more hens or chickens.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Adina, if you have 10 chickens, like 10 wild chickens, and if you have like, let's say, weeds that are grown up to like 6-7 feet high, leave those chickens there for 2 days and see what happens. They will stampede the fuck out of each plant. The weed won't grow to that high, because they are natural pest repellent. They are built to, you know, eat pest.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. If you look at coops, right, like where they have coops in farms,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, during the snow season or some, you know, they just leave it, and just weed will grow to like 6-7 feet high, you know, in the mm-hmm. in the coop, because there is so much manure on the ground, in the soil. Mm-hmm. They don't cut it up. They just leave the hens in there. Probably in 2 days, everything will be clear. Everything will be like very flat and everything will be eaten. That's what hens do. That's what chickens do. And guess what? When you take them out of the nature, right? When you take hens or chickens out of equation, there are no more pest repellents. Yeah, so weeds will grow. And when summer hits, they all get dry. Forest fire. And repeat.
Wow.
So it's a very basic natural problem. Then, you know, something that's human induced.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the solution is very natural. It doesn't need humans' involvement. Just let it be. Don't fuck with forests.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be a quote by now. Like, don't fuck with forests.
Yeah. I agree. I prefer trees anyway.
Yeah.
It bothers me when trees are introduced or they're cut down.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily so. It's like, you know, let them be.
Yeah. Like, if you look at even American cities where, you know, cities got abandoned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those cities now? It's all like forest. Forest took over very quickly.
Really?
Yeah. All of the houses have trees coming out of them.
Yeah. I have seen that.
Yeah. And the good news is there were three species of plants that were extinct in the United States. And they mm-hmm. came back in one of the city that was abandoned.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it was like a pollinated seed, right? That was just underground for so many years and finally it had the chance to come out.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very unique and, you know, something that humans don't understand, right?
Yeah, leave it alone and it'll come out of the ground, which is what I'm talking about when we do composting and we get certain kitchen scraps. Mm-hmm. Put it in the ground and leave it alone and, you know, water it, of course, but mm-hmm. it'll yield a result.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely in a weather that you're living in. You're also mm-hmm. blessed with a good weather.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah.
You at least you're not living in a depression land.
No.
You know which is depression land?
No.
United Kingdom.
Like from the depression?
No. England. England is like a depression land because there is rain throughout the year. Just cold and miserable.
Oh.
There is not enough warmth. You know, there is no sun.
No, I don't think that will work out for me.
Yeah.
Because I have to be outside, which is why we do camping and fishing and crabbing and...
Mm-hmm.
I love outside.
So have you tried aquaponic system in your land?
How do I do what?
Aquaponic, like plants that grow in water rather than soil.
My husband has done that. He did hydroponic. Mm-hmm. He does that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like to grow it in the ground.
Have you tried to like introduce fish in it?
Yeah, he talked about that. He didn't do the fish part, mm-hmm. but he do hydroponics where it's like just sitting in water.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does that, but mm-hmm. he's not consistent. I'm the consistent gardener here.
Yeah, but the advantage with hydroponics is you just set it up and forget it. It does mm-hmm. not need a lot of maintenance, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, mine doesn't either because mine really doesn't either because I don't weed as much as I should. When I finally go out there, I'm pulling up weeds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just try to leave it, set it and forget it.
Yeah.
And let the timer water it twice a day. But that's it.
Yeah. I would say just don't pull out weeds. Just let it be. But just like throw beans.
I do eggshell.
Mm-hmm.
I do eggshells and something else I do for... the weeds.
No, you don't have to worry about weeds if you throw beans because beans is a nitrogen fixer. Mm-hmm. So it will bring more nitrogen to your soil. But it will occupy so much land that weed won't have space to grow.
Yeah.
See, you know, people have a wrong approach to weed. People think weed is a problem. Weed mm-hmm. is not a problem. Weed is a signal that your soil is saying, hey, I am healthy. I can grow more. Give me more to grow.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, you know, there is a concept of multi-layer farming where, you know, people are growing multiple levels of food. Mm-hmm. For example, they would grow a root food like potato, let's say. And then they will grow a leafy vegetable like spinach maybe. And then they will grow a straight shooter like tomato maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then very high canopy like papaya.
Mm.
All in the same land, in the same, literally in the same square, and there is no space for weeds to grow because there is not enough nutrition to go around.
Yeah, I heard about that. I have heard about that, like, triple layer.
So just grow beans. Like beans is the best thing that you could grow.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, and you know, weed will automatically go away because there is no space for it. And
Yeah.
trust me, US soil knows what to grow and what not to grow.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, beans is the best thing. Like, because I don't think beans need a lot of attention.
No.
Yeah, because I have from my own experience and talking to farmers in my, you know, community, that beans is almost a weed. It's almost a weed because it does not need much water, it does not need much care. You know, it is very, very, very disease resistant. And it also helps your other plants to fight against pest.
Right.
So yeah, that's the best thing you could do. Or marigold, you can try marigold, the flower.
Yeah, now I have grown marigold before.
Yeah, you could grow marigold, you know, at the edge of your plant, garden or patch. Yeah, that would help you with a lot of pest control, where no chemicals, you don't need any chemicals. Marigold is the you know, natural attractor of pests.
Yeah, you're right. I have tried that.
Yeah.
It's like every time I need to plant them again though, because they didn't come up.
Okay. That might be due to bees. Like, do you have enough bees in your area?
I think so. I see them.
Because yeah, marigold needs some carriers without which it does not work. It needs some you know, helpers, right? Pollinators.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that makes sense.
did you ever try? I know I'm taking you down this rabbit hole, but did you ever try, like, you know, bees, honeybees, like for
Yeah, oh, I
honey?
love honey. I want, here's the thing. My husband has to like slow me down because I want chickens in the yard. I want bees. I want to really do the farm thing, but he's like, no.
Yeah, bee is a very involved process for the at least first 2 years when you're learning, but then it becomes like passive income kind of thing where you're not spending a lot of time, but it's giving you result.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the biggest problem with bees, Adina, is multiplying them. So you go from one co colony to multiple colonies. The
Yeah.
more colonies you build, of course, more honey you would get. But that's the process that takes most time. But if
Yeah.
once that is done, right, let's say you have 10 to 12 hives in your farming area, yeah, you are fixed. You are set for life.
Wow. Yeah, there's a bee farm maybe 2 minutes down the road from me. And they don't really live there. They just kind of harvest their bee, harvest
Yeah,
the
honey.
honey from the bees. And I see them down there and I'm like, give me some of those.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, Adina. I feel like you're blessed with a lot of things. Because
Yeah.
having honeybees so near to you, yeah, you could grow anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there are
Well,
so many pollinators.
I think those bees are contained in that area because I pass by there and I see like it's like the white boxes and
Yeah,
the jug on
feeders.
top of the white. Yeah, the white, yeah, the feeder. And so I'm just like, so they're contained. They're not coming down here. I want them
I
though.
don't think so, because a bee has like a mile range of like around 3 to 3.5 miles.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so they will venture into your garden.
Okay.
Yeah, you can test it actually. I mean, this is an unethical hack, but if you want to test it, just put out some sugar syrup in open container,
Yeah.
and then you will see all the bees will come to you again.
Yeah, I love that. I love
And
that.
if possible, there is something called as migration, right? With bees, they will leave their old hives and try to create new ones.
Oh, wow.
So, and this is
Yeah.
an unethical hack that I'm not supposed to say, but I'm saying what a lot of people do is if they don't want to buy bees, right? And if they see that someone is you know, having beehives in their area, they will put up a new beehive and they'll put a lot of sugar syrup on it. So they force bees to migrate. That way you get yourself a free colony of a bee.
Yeah. Yeah, and then my husband will get really mad at me because we got bees everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, you know, like people who don't like bees will get mad at you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got 3 acres. Nobody can bother us except for for the family. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, I feel everybody... like chicken is a very good idea for you, right? Like it works practically because you eat chickens and eggs. So, you know, even if they reproduce, it's not a problem for you.
Yeah, my husband don't want to see him though. He's like, no. I've asked. Mm-hmm. I've asked about the bees and the chickens.
Yeah.
Just no.
Yeah, I think he just wants to stay, you know, like a little bit sane. He doesn't want to go insane, you know, like with just animal husbandry.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then I think his point of view is like, what next? Like cows? Right?
Yeah.
That must be his thought process. Like, what next?
He knows I'll do it all because I clearly I'm a country girl in a city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah, definitely.
But he indulges me with so many different things. So he's like, yeah, I'm drawing the line here because, you know, we got the camper, we got the fishing, we got you know, all the things.
Yeah.
And he's like, and, you know, and then in my garden, too. So he's like, nah, we're not doing the chickens.
Yeah.
I'm like, but if because we have UNF, University of University of Florida.
OK.
I'm like, but because they test soil and do different things like that, because they're encouraging individuals to have a garden. I said, but if they're starting a program, because they talked about it, where they want to give a chicken coop and some chickens.
Yeah.
We can get them, right?
Yeah.
He's like, no.
Yeah, but I usually advise people against it. I usually advise people against going with the university projects because it tends to be messy because you're dealing with a bunch of children, not adults.
Yeah. Well, I did that for 20 years. I was a youth count. I mean, I was a psychology professor for 20 years.
Oh, yes. You are a veteran for that. You are a veteran of dealing with children. I think you could manage it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very good positive thing that you're trying to do, I feel like. Because a lot of people don't do that anymore. People just consume and consume. Like, shit food. Literal shit food. Yeah, I mean, people would be surprised if they like, got to know what, like, chickens are fed or what, like, cows are fed, right? For meat purpose. Yeah. They do not eat meat. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I get it, which is why I try to get my family to eat very little.
And, very little, you know, outside food?
Very little meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I cook every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I try, and my family already knows we're not going out to eat, you know, because you don't know what they're putting in food. And it's like, anytime I go out to eat, I'm like, I could do this better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not limited to, you know, one piece of tomato or one, you know. I mean, yeah,
but guess what? It also saves you money.
Yeah.
I did that. That's just like an Asian mindset.
I know.
When I was a kid, when I asked, like, I want to eat something outside food, my mother would be like, why? Because she would just decimate me with, like, you know, it's just cheaper if we just cook it. And we would try to cook, you know, like fast food in house. It would taste not that good, of course, because it was, now I realize it was not enough chemicals in our food. But, you know, that's just Asian mindset. I think everybody needs to have that, right? Instead of Starbucks, tea or coffee, just make your own. And with that, thank you so much, guys, for listening to this episode. Until the next episode, take care. Bye-bye.